Hello, week six people. Can you guys hear me okay? My computer's just rebooted itself at the worst opportune time. So give me a thumbs up or a comment in the chat box if you can hear me okay. I'm gonna just double check my preferences while we do that. Make sure everything's good. Should be working, so fingers crossed. Okay, great. You can hear me. Okay, that's a good start. Sorry I'm a little bit late. As I said, my computer just decided to crash and we had to reboot. We're here now. I'm also not 100% well today. I'm struggling. Some of you probably know I have a chronic health condition. So my brain's on a little bit of a go slow. Hopefully we'll be absolutely fine and we'll get through this. I wanted to make sure I showed up for you all, but just bear with me if I seem a little bit clumsy with my words. There we go. Week six. Can you believe we're at week six? I don't know how this has happened. Before we dive into today's questions, I wanted to just run through a little bit of kind of housekeeping admin with you guys. So things you need to know. Week six is obviously the final week of new material for the class, but you also get next week, all of the bonus material will be unlocked. So if you've not checked that out, you can go and have a look. It's a combination of there's some guest lessons from other people. There's some content that didn't fit in with the course. It's not like essential, but it's there if you want to use it. And there's also just some stuff that used to be in the course that kind of has been superseded or replaced, but is still maybe like good to work through. It's yours to do what you want with. It's there at the bottom within Teachable. You get lifetime access to everything within the class, remember. So if you're not at week six yourself yet, don't worry. You're not behind. You don't need to catch up. Just keep going at your own pace. You can log in at any time and access all materials. And you will find at the end in the homework section of each week, you'll also find the audio, like the podcast. If you have the podcast synced to your phone, and you want to keep any of either these calls or the lessons of it, you need to make sure you've downloaded them to your phone by the end of the year. So we'll probably, I've not set a file, but it'll probably be around January time. And what will happen then is we'll erase the podcast feed so that, sound is glitchy. Is it maybe just this mic? I can take it out. How about now? Let me do some testing. I don't know what to say. I never know what to say when I'm just testing. You don't think it's the mic? Is it the internet? Is that better? Christina, can you hear me? I can see you on my screen. Give me a thumbs up. Is it sound okay? Okay, I'll keep going. Tell me if it gets a problem again and we'll make a plan B. So the podcasts will... After the new class starts, they'll disappear from the podcast feed that you've got on your app and then start to reappear week by week again. And the new class will be getting them fed out in the same way that you have. But if you download them, they will all stay on your phone, or you can just wait and they'll all be back there. And the calls, the audio calls, they'll disappear unless you've downloaded them. If you want to catch any of them later and you haven't saved them, remember they're all in the Facebook group. You can always go into the Facebook group and go right into the archive and watch these calls. And there'll be a whole new set of calls when the next class runs that will pop up in your podcast feed for you to hear. So when do they come down? Maddie's asking. Not until the new class starts. So it will probably be around the start of January. So you've got plenty of time. And I will try and remember that to send an email out to warn everybody so you can remember to download them. The final thing I want to tell you is we are really close now to launching the custom learning site I've had built. So replacing Teachable, we will have our very own, me and Orla, beautiful, custom designed learning platform. I'm really excited. It's been the biggest investment I've ever made for the business. It's been so long to get to here. It's been so taken so much longer than I expected. But I really wanted to give you like just an immersive experience, because Teachable's fine, but it's not the prettiest. And I think we need it to be visual and functional and everything we want. So at some point in the new year, when we get there, look out for an email which will invite you to come over and set your login up over on the new platform. And I might invite some of you guys, if anyone's looking to redo it, to kind of beta test it for us and go through and come back to us and say, well, this was a bit funny, or like, when I clicked this, it didn't work. If any of you are up for that, I would completely love to have you guys on board with it, just making it the best it can be. And it has just really fun features, like if you leave comments, it will still have the comment capacity at the bottom, but you'll be able to click on people's comments and it will take you to their Instagram page or to their website. Like just small stuff like that, that I think is going to make a really big difference for us as a community. I can't wait. It looks so good. I'll share some like previews maybe in the Facebook group if some of you would like to see. So that is all my housekeeping. If I haven't answered your question, if you've got any questions, pop them in the chat box, or you can always ask on Facebook. Naomi, myself, and Sundari will still be around in the Facebook community. We're always popping in, and we'll be around obviously for the rest of this week and probably next week on the usual basis. So if you're still working through it, if you're still having questions, you can still post to Teachable, you can still ask in Facebook. You're not on your own. Like, we are still here. You get our support. So no need to panic. Everything continues. Okay, I'm going to share my screen and show you what I've picked out today. Now, because this is the last call, if I don't get to your question today, there were a few too many for us to get through in one call, I'm going to go into Facebook and make sure I've replied to everybody directly in the questions thread. So if you've not, don't get your question answered in this audio call, don't worry, go into check into Facebook and you'll find my answer there. Because I know normally I'd say, oh, just submit it next week, but we don't know when next week will be. For future courses though, if you see these calls are coming up, you are always welcome to come and submit a question wherever you're at with your account further down the line. Always welcoming new questions, people working through it again, people at the next stage, all good. Okay, Kasia, Kasia, I hope I'm saying your name right. You can tell me if I'm wrong, if you're here.
Kasia.
And, oh, hi, can you say your name for me?
Kasia.
Kasia, thank you, it's beautiful.
Thank you.
Could you mention your...
I couldn't hear your question, but I suppose you asked if what was my question, no?
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to swap my mic while you tell us.
Okay. So I don't watch many stories and I don't know what to do with my stories, really. I'm not a big fan also of YouTube, so I don't know, like, what shall I share? And also... my community is quite little, but they quite active, like they like commenting and we have nice conversations. And I'm a bit lost with stories.
Sure. So yeah. My single best tip for this, if that's how you're feeling. Can you guys still see this? Sorry, I was fixing my audio. My single best tip is to just go and watch a load of stories, because you said, I know in your question, you don't really watch other people's stories. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really hard for us to expect ourselves to be masterful at creating a medium if we've never been a consumer of it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a bit like trying to write music when you've never listened to music, or hardly ever, like, and then being like, I don't know why I can't write very good songs. Mm-hmm. Okay. So your homework, if you want to think of it that way, is to go and watch like a whole wide range of stories. And I'm sure, like, if you want some volunteers, people who are using stories in the class, you can post in the Facebook group and we'll tell you whose stories to watch and what we're posting. And you can go and just spend a little bit of time for a few days, mm-hmm. watching. Because what you'll find is very quickly you'll get a sense of what you like, what you don't like, what's interesting.
Well, that's why I don't watch them mostly, because I find them boring.
Okay, but maybe you're watching the wrong ones. I mean, maybe they're all boring to you. That could be true.
The ones that I'm watching are quite sophisticated. Like they look like they're a lot of work. So you say in lessons that they can be quick and easy, but they don't look quick and easy to me at all.
Well, for some people, they're not. Yeah, some people love to put more time and work into it, and maybe they have mm-hmm. more time to spare for that. That's completely fine. Mm-hmm. But if you don't want to, like, it sounds like you have some clear ideas about what you don't want.
Yeah.
You don't want it to be time consuming. You don't want it to be boring. So with that in mind, it's kind of like a treasure hunt. Go on a treasure hunt for people doing stories in a way that you would love to do. I promise mm-hmm. you they're out there. There's a billion active users on Instagram. I'm pretty sure there's going to be at least one person out there
doing stories in a way. I'm not suggesting you have to do it exactly the same, but just to inspire you and kind of give you permission to do it in a different way. Because you're right, like the algorithm will get us into loops of showing us pretty lousy content a lot of the time if we're not careful. So if you're not liking what you're seeing, you need to be proactive, find some other stuff, and just for a short while, spend some time consuming it, and then you'll know what to create.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm sorry it's not a clean answer and I can't give you like a 5-bullet point list of exactly what to do, but it's going to be personal, and you know, I could tell you what to do and it could still be boring for you. So it needs to be fun. It needs to be something you feel inspired to share.
But do you think it's like, you have to treat the stories like a different channel of Instagram? Yeah. So it's a different kind of thinking as well than to the group.
Yes, it's a slightly different medium for sure. But that doesn't mean it has to be whatever your brain is making it mean. It can be anything you want it to be. Just slightly different, like a different approach. And then after a while, you will really start to feel that sense of like, oh, this is stories content and this is grid content. You won't even have to think about it.
Okay, good.
Have fun, experiment.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Kesha. Oops. Okay, do we have Danny? Are you here with us today? Mixed mama. Are you here, Danny? Unmute yourself if you're with us. I can't see you. Okay, I'll read out Danny's question. She had a question about engagement and hashtags. So she said she was using a hashtag that's generally updated every couple of days. And then she goes in and she sort of catches up and likes everything that's been posted in the last 24 hours or since she last looked. She said, I use them and they definitely increase my number of likes by about 250 to 300. But she thinks it's much like a follow for follow and they're not really giving meaningful engagement. It's probably just people who are doing the same strategy that she's doing. She said, I end up liking content I don't actually like. That said, though, my profile visits increase a lot after I started using them. So perhaps my posts being shown in them does actually help me. My question is, should I stop using them? A lot of my audience is mummy bloggers and I know a lot of parents' accounts use them. And I'm concerned if I stop using them, my posts will get lost. So this is a good, juicy question. It's kind of got a couple of elements. So in terms of using them as in applying them to your post, Danny, keep it up. If they're working for you, if they're bringing conversion over, there's no reason to stop. I would say if you are going over and liking everything from the past 24 hours, and you've not said how many posts that is, but I'm assuming it's a manageable number. Let's say there's like 30 and you're finding that you're getting return engagement, that process is obviously working for you. That outreach, that spending however many minutes going and liking posts is obviously bringing people back to your page. So the two problems we've got are, one, it sounds like they're not converting, as in they're not sticking around, they're not following, they're not becoming like big fans. And two, they're possibly not your right people. They're possibly people who are just looking at that hashtag as a kind of a means to engagement and not really because they're in the mood to look at new content and be discovering. So I don't think the act of going and liking is the problem. I think maybe the problem is the hashtags you're using and possibly just like tweaking stuff again on your page to make it super sticky. You know, we talk in the early weeks about like, we want it to be so that someone lands on your page and they're like, this is for me. I'm sticking around. This is what I want to see on my Instagram and I'm going to follow you. So, I mean, it looks great, but you'll know yourself, like what works best. Where do these red lines come from? I never know how this happens. Is it like someone drawing on the screen? And we could kind of dig into that in the group if you need any help in thinking about your grid in that way. But the second part I think is going to be the really key one. So are there hashtags you can find where you can pour in that energy and that engagement, but the people using it are not just other people looking for engagement? Like there are plenty of hashtags out there where people browse because they're looking for people to follow, they're looking for inspiration, they're looking for value, for advice, for whatever it is you're offering. What are those hashtags? And that's what I would be mixing it up with. I would be like, maybe make myself a list of 30 hashtags and try a different one every day for a month. And see at the end of it, like, okay, which days were the best? Which days did I see the biggest spikes? Which days did I get followers? Like, what felt right for me? In terms of liking content you don't actually like, really tricky one. I know this sometimes comes up. Sometimes people say this about the support groups that we've made as well. They feel like they have to go and like and comment on people's posts, but maybe it's not their usual style of content. And I think it's just a personal decision. Like, I always believe there is something worth liking in every post, unless it's like an offensive post or it's something violent. I can always find the thing that I like and the thing that I could comment on. And I love the challenge of that, like personally, to just be like, where is the connection in this for me? But if you're just blanket liking, if you're just going like, and not even really looking or connecting with the content, then you're probably doing a disservice to them and to yourself. So use that time joyfully, like find stuff you really do want to engage with. And maybe that's going to come from choosing a better hashtag as well. Hopefully that's helpful for you, Dan. If you've got any follow-up questions, you can obviously come and ask them in the group.
Thank you. I am here. I just couldn't get my microphone to work. And I think that was me that drew on the screen as well. Sorry about that. I was just frantically bashing it, trying to get it to work. So,
no problem. Did that answer your question? Was there anything else?
Yes, it did. Thank you. That was really helpful.
Okay. Good luck. Keep us posted, because it's always really interesting as well to kind of see figuring it out. Like, this is how you figure out exactly what works.
Yeah. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you, Danielle. Okay. Grania, are you here with us?
Hi, Sarah.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, thank you.
I can't see you. I can hear you. Let me see. Where are you? There you are. Awesome. Do you want me to read your question or do you want to tell us?
I'll let you read it.
Okay. You said, going back over the course this week, trying to put together a cohesive plan, you're still a bit stuck on what you should be posting. You said, I've learned that I need to post more product shots, but I'm not sure if they should be along the lines of moments, not things, like the feature kept, or more in the style of catalogue shots like Jono Smart. And should every image feature my product, or is every second one okay? I realise I'm prone to wanting everything to be right, but I'm struggling on where to go from here. Okay, why are you confused about this?
I guess I'm just looking at different accounts and the likes. Like, I know I went back over, I started back on week one on Monday to try and put everything together in my head. I think it was information overload. And I know you say it's very much moments, not things, and to kind of the whole lifestyle image. But then I look at the likes of Jono Smart, who's hugely successful, but he's...
I'm going to bring up Jono while you talk, just for
now. He has a beautiful feed. It's so clean and very much product and not so much moments, I think. And I'm just not sure which one I should be going towards, or is it a combination?
Well, what I'm curious about is, like, why does looking at something, so say what Jono does, make you doubt what you want to do?
Because I don't really know what I want to do, I guess. And he looks like he has it all figured out.
Yeah, right? I think that sounds like what's happening is, like, you're doing it one way and then your brain is like, let's find an excuse to outsource our responsibility for this to somebody else and do it their way. And
yeah.
I mean, it's human, nothing's gone wrong, but I'm not sure it's going to serve you. So Jono does Jono. And I mean, he definitely does do product only shots, but there's a lot of other stuff in here. I mean, bear in mind, I know he's just moved and they're still setting up the workshop, so he's not actually making right now. Mm. And Jono is a bit of an exception in that his ceramics have such a cult following.
Okay.
Globally, like, people are really thirsty to just see the ceramics. So he can post a picture of a cup and, like, people all over the world are going to go, oh, it's a Jono Smart cup. And not all of us immediately have an audience that is interested, much in the way that, like, Kim Kardashian can post a selfie and get a million likes. But if I posted the same selfie, it would not perform in the same way. I'm confused by why that is, but apparently that's so. So, like, Jono does Jono really well. And the future kept, Jessica does that, and Dean, they do that really well. But your job is to do you really well.
And that's where I struggle. I'm not sure about me at the moment, yeah.
Yeah, and so I teach the moments, not things. And that is not to say that every person who's ever been successful on Instagram has used that strategy, because obviously that's not true. Obviously there are other ways. And it's also not to say, and I need to be really clear about this for anyone with a product-based business, it's not to say that the more sort of catalog type shots can never appear, but the problem with the catalog type shots is they serve a very specific purpose. They say, I have a product, it's available, you can buy it.
Yeah.
And people who are already sold on the product and already know they want it or will already in the place to buy it, that's a really activating post that will get you customers, that will get people buying. So that's great for those people. But everybody else who's maybe not there yet, who doesn't understand about your product, who's not seeing you on their explore page, who doesn't even understand the role that your product could play in their life, they don't get anything from that kind of post.
Okay.
So for me, it's about a blend, and it's, you'll know yourself, like what posts convert best. Mm-hmm. But in terms of getting on Explore, etc., most people are product only shot, unless you have a super viral product, it's not going to hit the Explore page without it having that kind of moments context. Does okay. that make sense?
Yeah, because I've changed, if you scroll down, you'll see I've changed my aesthetic hugely since starting the course.
I think that's incredible.
I'm really happy with the way it is now. It's just whether that's enough of a blend of product and lifestyle.
So tell me, this is a product shot, this is a product shot.
Yeah, that one's product as well.
This.
Yeah.
This not?
No.
This is?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a great blend. I really like it, and it feels very organic. It doesn't feel formulaic. It's not immediately obvious when I land on this page that you're selling me anything. And if you wanted to make it more obvious, you could drop in the more catalog Jono Smart type shots here and there as well.
Like, okay.
There's nothing to lose in trying. And don't be surprised if that kind of post performs less well on Instagram in like the metrics we measure on Instagram. Pay attention to, does it convert to sales? Because what we usually would do is like, you know, these lifestyle, 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 lifestyle. After a while, I'm following you. I'm like, yeah, I'm ready. Like, these are beautiful things. So then the next time you post one of those catalog shots, those more sort of call to action shots, I'm like, yeah, oh my God, I forgot she sells them, I'm going to go and buy. And then you go back to lifestyle, lifestyle, lifestyle. So it's kind of like a pathway that we want to kind of gently be leading people along and remembering to drop in signposts. But then I feel like this, again, could be an overt enough sale.
Okay.
And I think you make it really clear up here. I like that we have this, so we know the things are for sale.
Okay, so having, like when I have, say that picture there of the hands with the card,
mm-hmm.
if I have that and I just mention at the bottom that something for sale, but yet the rest of the caption isn't about that, is that okay?
Everything's okay.
I want it to be right.
Put it at the top in capital letters if you want. This is for sale, everybody. And I love it. And then the rest of my caption, everything's okay. And you could make it a carousel where we have beautiful lifestyle image and we swipe across and it's the catalog type shot. You can.
Yeah, I was doing that for a few. And then I realized with the, if not this, then that, which I have set up for Pinterest, it won't do that for carousel images.
Ah, so it did not bring either across.
No.
How annoying.
Yeah. Just when I thought I had it.
Oh, I know. They always like to foil us with the technology. Yeah, I think what you really need here is to give yourself permission to do it your way and keep experimenting and figure it out. Like, find where that line is between what feels comfortable, what feels authentic, what converts, and kind of find that balance. It doesn't have to be a product shot every shot, but it can be. It could be one a week. It could be every single one. It could be every other one. There's no hard and fast rules. But what I really want for you is to, once you know, once you get to the place and you only get there by doing, you'll know, oh, okay, if I post these three posts this week and they feature these three products, I will get this many sales, roughly.
Okay.
And you only get there by trying and changing and adjusting and doing and saying different things and seeing what works.
So it's not going to be overnight then, you're telling me?
Sadly, no. Maybe, you know.
No, I know.
Over a few nights. And what I really wish I could give you, because I know it's what you really want, is I can't promise it won't be uncomfortable at times.
Yeah.
But you can do uncomfortable things, you can do hard things.
Yeah, definitely.
Worth totally worth it. And on the other side, you'll have so much knowledge and skill that you've gained and so much confidence.
Yeah, it's the confidence that's definitely
It is, but look at what you've created. I mean, this, guys, and I've not checked the chat box, but I already know the people in there are going to be saying how amazing it looks. And I think you'll need to read it too. Look what you've done just by setting your mind to it. So this is 6 weeks. Where are you going to be in another 6 weeks?
I can't wait. Okay. Thank you so much, Sarah. It's been brilliant.
We're sending you lots of love and we're all cheering for you.
Thank you.
See you soon.
Bye.
Okay. Jen, are you here with us, Jen? Decisive cravings. No, Jen, I think she is overseas, so it might be the middle of the night for Jen. She said she's a freelance copywriter and writer, and she also runs a food and culture and travel website. The last 2 or 3 years or so, post baby and finding a new routine, my following has not grown beyond its current count, and I would love to learn what I could do to change that and provide more value and interestingness. In my caption audit, 99% of my grid was informative. What would be a recommended balance or post rotation in terms of value? Should it be, e.g., a checkerboard approach? She said, my core focus is food specific, sharing recipes and food culture, organizing baking swaps, and I've recently launched some festive baking stationery. My next goal or project is to finalize a cookbook and approach a publisher. I would love any thoughts on generally building my audience, but also specifically with the end goal of a stronger readership or community for the cookbook, as I've been told publishers like that. Okay, well, beautiful feed, I think we can all agree. Really beautiful. And there is nothing wrong with 100% informative posts. Nothing wrong with 100% any specific kind of posts, right? Except if it's not working. So it sounds like from what you're describing, Jen, like it's, you kind of plateaued, it's not creating growth for you. So I think it's great that you've identified that as a possible area that you could explore and develop. You know your photos are working, you know your content is in the right direction for what you want to build an audience for. So let's think about different ways that you could add value to these people. And I'm just trying to have a little look, I did have a look earlier as well, about what kind of informative it is. Like, you guys have a read of that. Because I think that there's probably a million ways you could still offer like informative baking and food related content, which it sounds like is going to be the best thing for your niche, without having to do it the way you're doing it right now. So like one of my things that always comes to my mind whenever I think of a food related niche is, I don't know why there's nobody doing a weekly live bake-along. IG Live, which we know grabs everybody and funnels them over to your account. Imagine if once a week you said, here's your recipe list, like here's your shopping list, you gotta go and buy these things. Meet me on my Instagram Live at 7 o'clock on Friday night and we'll spend an hour baking together and then you can all show me the results at the end. It doesn't have to be an IG Live, but like it doesn't have to be that idea at all. But can you see how like that is huge value for people to take away? What an amazing gift that you could be giving to people. Has anyone got any other suggestions or ideas that they would love to see now you're having a look at Jen's account? Because I think it's useful to kind of crowdsource sometimes on these things and find out what people want to know. And I would say with your captions, they are informative, but they're not, what's the words I'm trying to find here? Sorry, my brain is on a go slow. They're not necessarily answering problems that you've maybe identified that your audience has, if that makes sense. Like, I wonder if you chatted a little bit with your audience and found out what they needed to know from you. Like, imagine if you were sat there and they could ask you absolutely anything in the world. Is what they would ask you, like, the recipe for this thing. It might be, you'll know better than I will, but I think it might be something else. It might be like, why do my like macarons always come out flat like biscuits? Or like, how can I get stuff out the tin if it's sticking too much? Or, you know, what's the best kind of yeast? Or I don't know, you can tell all of my baking disasters by the things I'm asking, but like, I'm not sure it's like super useful. And I think that that could be a really fun thing to dig into, is like, where is the pain point for people so that you can answer it, and answer it in a way that's like really grabbing, because these are beautiful captions, but they're not super concise. They're not super like immediate value. I'm not saying every single one would have to be that, but it could be a really good area to kind of explore. So Pip says, Alice through the year did these in lockdown. Number one, and a lot of her friends got involved with them. So that's baking along or cooking along. Maybe do some more work in progress, you making food or showing your hands doing things, definitely. Shamel says, with so many more people baking in lockdown, could you give a live or a set of stories sharing how to photograph your homemade bread because you have that expertise? Yeah, styling, such a good idea. What about sharing recipes, sharing easy to read recipes with bullet points? Yeah, like what if this, we got the recipe, and then we swiped and it was a carousel of like a graphic with the ingredients, and we swipe again and it's a graphic of the steps. So it's like, oh, I need to save that post. It doesn't just tell me to go to a link in your bio and find the recipe. I can have it right here. I can send it to my friend in Instagram and say, let's bake these together at the weekend. Like getting that traction right here, right now. Pip says, I'd love to see more in your bio about your food recipes right at the start, and that you have the stationery on offer to buy too, so that I can see that the moment I land on your page. Sorry, I'm going to take off this thing because it's not working. Joanne says, how about more action shots and ask questions about what you are showing? Kathleen says, my friend does TikTok baking videos and the response has been incredible, sometimes reaching 1 million views with low production value and very casual. Just from chatting and baking along, people really connect with it. Like, this is so random. I can't believe I'm telling you guys this, but I got really deep into like a true crime thing, and the victim of the crime, she posted very frequently on social media and it's all there to see. And one of the things that she used to do was she would just bake and go live. Like, she'd bake every week. She'd just stick her phone up above the counter and just chat while she baked. And it was so human and lovely and comforting, and I was like, I would have loved to know that she did that when she was still around and to follow her. Like, if you're baking, if you're styling, if you're photographing, what if it didn't have to be perfect? What if you could just chat and answer questions and do it at the same time? Miranda says, I'd love to know, oh sorry, I read that one. Sundari says, you could do reels. Lucinda says, I would love a super simple recipe, dead easy and not too wordy, especially one you can do with kids. Yeah. Quick cook along. I love watching Tabitha Brown's content. I never cook though, but I enjoy watching along, right? Like, we all love to watch cookery shows, even if we're not. Everything looks really beautiful. I quite like to see the mess that happens before too, as that's what happens in my kitchen. I also love little tip series like a Tips Tuesday, where I remember to check in with an account once a week. So little baking tips that people could keep coming back for, definitely. Word graphic carousel with recipes so people can save them, ups you in the algorithm. I'll tell you who the crime thing later, Sundari. I feel like it's too off-brand for me to go down a true crime rant in the middle of a live. Could do reels with time lapse of the progression and cooking. This seems very trendy right now. I might get some new people over to your page. Definitely. Like, go onto food TikTok. Even if you're not a TikTok person and it terrifies you, it used to terrify me, but go over and find food TikTok and watch what works there, because you can bring that over and do it in reels, and you can repurpose it and do it on your blog. Like, just people a couple of seconds of each step of the process and some text or some narration, and you've got like a recipe video, and it doesn't have to take you any longer than just cooking it normally would. It doesn't have to be like a whole YouTube professional ready steady cook fandango. I need to know who this true crime person is. Oh no, I'm taking you all down the rabbit hole. A quick video of you breaking into your baked goods or plating pasta. So nice to see the movement. Yes. And even like, how do you shop? Where do you get your ingredients? What's in your store cupboard? What would you never be without in your pantry? What do you substitute when you go to bake and you suddenly realize you've not got something? all the things. Like, you need to think like a baking idiot. And if you ever need to speak to a baking idiot, I am right here to provide you with all of the struggles. Sundari says, hand movement. Sounds weird, but I love watching rolling of dough. Yeah, like even a series up here, a highlight that could be like baking 101. And 1 week you just show us how to knead dough. And 1 week you show us how to fold, because who even, I mean, really, I just stir it and hope for the best. And 1 week this shows us like the difference between over whisking and under whisking. And 1 week this shows us like how to really grease a tin and which way up the greaseproof paper should be so that it doesn't stick. And yeah, so much stuff. Okay. I think you've got the idea, Jen. I hope this is helpful. We're all waiting for you to help us with our baking disasters. I will tell you all the true crime thing at the end for anyone who wants to know and go and investigate it with me too. Such a strange human instinct, isn't it, that we find these things so fascinating. Okay, Kerry and Thomas, are you here? Either of you, both of you?
Hello, I'm here.
Hi, Kerry, how are you doing?
I'm fine, thanks, I'm good.
How's the weather in France today?
Oh, it's quite sunny today, it's quite nice. It's about 18 degrees. It's
oh my amazing. Goodness.
Lovely.
Very jealous.
There. Yorkshire, is it?
It's like, actually, we have got some sunshine, but it's more like 11 degrees. So,
okay.
A wee bit nippier. Okay. Do you want me to read out what you wrote, or will you tell us?
I'll read it. I'll try to read it. So we live in the Dordogne in southwest France, running a luxury holiday home business in our 18th century manor house and villa. That's myself and my husband. And my goal with the Instagram account is to showcase the beautiful area around us and the best things to do and visit in the area, and also try and show behind the scenes kind of daily life things as well. But the my following and the engagement, it's quite slow, and it's going up very, very slowly, but a bit too slow. So obviously following your course, this is my third attempt to complete the course, it's helping. And I've really seen this time where I need to go in and work more to improve. So I'd really love to get your feedback on the how I'm reaching the goals or not reaching the goals at the moment, your feedback on my posts. But also something that I didn't see covered in the courses, I noticed that videos often get a lot of engagement, like thousands and thousands. And I was wondering what your recommendation is about the balance between photos on the grid and videos. And if we use videos, is it better to use Instagram TV for something or Reels for something else? That was yesterday.
So there is some stuff on video in the bonus section, so that will unlock for you, and I would definitely encourage you to check it out. It was written by Xanthe Barclay. I don't know if you guys know her. She is a friend of mine who does incredible iPhone-based video diaries for Instagram, and so she's written us a little lesson on her top tips to how to create it, app recommendations, all that stuff. I would definitely say go and check that out. There are no hard and fast rules. Like, obviously content like that we just watched needs to be a video. It's not going to work as a picture in the same way, because the movement is part of the story. And if you're finding videos get great engagement for you, then lean into it and think about how you can make more things videos. I've noticed Reels don't go into the main grid, so a good way of making short videos without it messing up the grid, says Sundari. Yeah, so I would say IGTV, I mean, engagement on IGTV at the moment is pretty abysmal. So if possible, if you need to make a long video, put it on IGTV, but I would also make sure it comes onto your feed, make sure you're sharing on stories, make sure you're like doing the extra legwork to get everybody on there. That kind of video, like the short kind of video, is definitely either grid or it could be Reels. The thing with Reels that I will say, and I'm going to write specific content for Reels once I'm like feel like I'm ready to kind of teach it, is it has its own particular flavor as a platform, just like stories does, just like Instagram does. And so the same as we said right at the start of the call, the best way to get your head around what that would need to become a Reel is to spend some time watching other people's Reels. like it would probably need some like slightly funny music in the background and possibly like a little bit of explanation text over it to turn it from a grid post into a Reels post that would perform well. But the best thing to do would be to just see what else, you know, see what people are doing, see what's working and play around. If you're not finding what you want on Reels, you can go over to TikTok. The algorithms on TikTok are really good after you've used it for a little while. It's showing you more of what you'd like. So it is a really great place to do research for Reels because they're the same platform. It's just Instagram's version of it. And Julia says, I find IGTV like a void, really not much engagement. It's like it's not quite working. Yeah, I mean, there's not much discovery in IGTV. There's still no functioning hashtags. It's not super busy as a side of the app, as opposed to Reels, which is really, really busy. So I think something people sometimes forget is that the cover image in their videos makes a great difference. Yes, Emiliana. And you can choose that. Make sure you're choosing the cover image of your video. Is in covered in that lesson how you can kind of slide it along and make sure you're picking one. And remember that videos can still go in a carousel. So you could do a static image and a video and put them together. Yeah. You could also have a look at, I've got a YouTube video that I can pop the link to in the group where I show you how to take a static image and add video elements. So like you've got a cup of tea on a table and you can add steam that's moving and upload it like a video. So it gets the video engagement, but it also is just a static image that you already maybe had. What I want everyone to tell us right now, let's for Kerry, let's give her a list. What do you want to see from a French chateau that you could go and stay in that gives you the French wanderlust, the desire to travel? Because straight away I'm like, okay, I need baguettes and baskets. I need all the cliches. I need coffee. I need the bakery. I need to see like the chateau from a distance in all weathers, mist and sunshine and at sunset and in snow. If it snows that far south, I don't know if it does. Breakfast. Oh my gosh, the ideas are flooding in. Croissants. Yes, sheep or whatever animals. Oh my God, you guys are amazing. Local markets, wine, the French light, homemade jams. More wine, a day in the life at the chateau, the butter, the food, the front of the house, the views, the interiors, the butter again. What's for breakfast? Repeated images of the chateau in all weathers. Yes, Miranda, likewise. Cliches, premises and outside pics, all things that people need to dream of. Kittens sleeping in the sunshine. Like nature, what's blooming in the hedgerows, bring them in, shove them in a jar and show us them growing, fireplaces, a view of the beautiful bedroom, original features, dawn or sunset through the windows, all the cheese, views from the windows, Sarah style, a close-up of that burning fire with a glass of red, lavender, oh my gosh, yes, lavender, animals. You need to make sure you've read and like, I'll make sure that Rory posts the comments as well so you can grab them. But I think that like you're doing a beautiful job right now. We're getting so much of the story, but if you want to make this magnetic, the more of that stuff you can bring in, the more it's going to scream France and escape and wanderlust.
Yeah, no, this is great. This is really good feedback. Thank you. I'll look at all those chats, all the feedback that everybody gave. It's fantastic to get that because I was wondering what's the balance between showing behind the scenes things in the local area. It's difficult. Obviously, we can't get out. We can't go more than a kilometre from home at the moment. But to know what would be the balance and the purposes that people will find us and hopefully want to come and stay with us and using this, the Instagram as a means to that. But I seem to get just a lot of comments from friends all the time and not so much from pretend, well, obviously not the right audience there.
Because I think
gives a lot of
this is beautiful, but if I landed on it right now, like if I this has appeared on my explore page, I don't know that that's a house in France I can go and stay in.
Yes.
Do you know, like that could just be your home in Dorset or anywhere in the world. It could be in Pennsylvania. So not every picture, but I would love you to challenge yourself to see how many pictures you can create that unambiguously tell us that this is France and like make it like a daily postcard from France that for all of us stuck at home and wishing that we could go on holiday, like give us an armchair holiday in France.
Yes.
It's sensory. Like, I know probably a lot of things are shut, but you could, you know, still a picture of the bakery with its beautiful sign closed up. You might have to drive to find a beautiful bakery, but and like find one of those bread ATMs, those baguette machines that on the side of the road, because that will be viral. Like, everyone wants to see the bread ATMs, and you can talk about how, like, there's the law in France that you can always have fresh bread. Fields of lavender and fields of sunflower and sunflowers and all the things. Like, go full on, go as far into the French cliche as you can without wearing a stripy top and a beret. That's my advice to you. If you get that far, you've gone too far. Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. Okay, no, this is brilliant. Really good feedback. Thank you.
Thank you, Kerry. We are all looking forward to our armchair holiday in France.
Right, thank you.
Thank you. And make sure you look at the comments, because there's still so many good things coming in. Those. Okay, Emily, you are our last one today. Are you here with us, Inky Nib Designs?
Hi, yeah, I am.
Hi. Okay, tell us what's going on with you.
Okay, so my Instagram account is really tiny at the moment. I've just started it. And I'm a calligrapher, but I'm a bit stuck at the moment, or a bit kind of daunted and scared about what kind of posts to put up. Just because I'm not creating products all the time. Like, I'm not creating a new product every day. And I quite like to just style it in a way that it's a nice moment rather than an actual, just a product shot. I just don't want it to look salesy at all.
Is this product?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And these, are they mainly cards? Is that mainly your product?
Yeah, and mainly cards at the moment. And I'm hoping to like branch out into like gift tags and some stationery as well.
And do you do commissions?
Yeah. Do I what, sorry?
Do commissions, would you do?
Yes, I do actually, yeah, definitely, yeah. Okay. That's something I'd like to promote as well.
And how long does something like this take to do?
Do you know, not very long. When I first started, it was taking me ages, but now I've got it kind of set up. It takes me like maybe 10, 15 minutes.
Okay. Like, I want to ask that just because because we need to make realistic plans for you. And if you said to me an hour, which it would take.
Yeah, that's true. I think if it's like a repeat product, I've already got a template, and so it's quicker. If it's a new product, it takes a bit longer.
A bit more. Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. I want everyone right now in the comments to say an idea for ways that Emily could showcase her work. So her work can be any kind of calligraphy, but also including her products in fascinating, delightful, fun, valuable moments. Everybody, add those to the comments right now. I'm really curious. You said in your question, you kind of said it again then, you want to signpost people to your Etsy shop without sounding like I'm marketing.
Yes.
Why?
I don't know. I think it just feels a bit, it just doesn't feel very nice when someone's trying to sell you something. I think I use Instagram because I like to be inspired by things and by beautiful photos and posts, and I feel like a lot of other people maybe do that. That's kind of what I want to bring to everyone, as well as products. I want to kind of inspire them and just maybe bring a bit of joy to their life.
But did it feel not nice when I told you that the Insta Retreat was on sale and you could buy it if you wanted?
No, it didn't. It felt fine.
Just interesting to notice, right? Like,
yeah,
there's probably other things that you've bought in your life that someone marketed, as in told you that they were available for sale, because that's all mm-hmm. that really is, and it didn't feel not nice for you.
That's true. Yeah,
probably accounts you follow that regularly tell you that things are for sale. Maybe that's the reason you follow them, some of them, because you like the things that they sell. I think you're not alone in this thought process at all, but I think we do always have to challenge it whenever it comes up, because it's very easy to go into that hiding place of like, okay, the only way to sell is to like stealth sell. Maybe if I don't ever let them know I'm selling, it'll be okay. But there's a statistic, and I always, numbers are not my forte, but it's something like about 30% of people will buy from you just from like an organic natural mention, like the kind you're trying to do. About 30% of people will just never buy from you because they're not interested in what you sell. And what's left, 40%, is my maths right? Yeah, 40% of people will only buy from you when you explicitly tell them to go and buy.
Okay.
And that's just how like marketing works. So you're missing out on that 40% slice. And this is for everyone. I know there's lots of you listening who are not using that 40% of people because you think you're going to be not nice or you're going to not like you. And remember, like, it is not our responsibility to make other people feel nice. We can't control that. They might already not be having a nice day. And you saying I sell cars is probably not going to be the worst thing that happens to them.
That's so true, yeah.
So
good point, thank you.
That's my rant. That's my simple rant. That being said, like, you have such a perfect product here. Like, it is so fun and easy and natural for you to showcase this without you ever having to feel like you're going into a hard sell, because we're all going to just love watching you write on things, create things, write in real time, write in time lapse. Like, you could do a weekly calligraphy tip or like lesson and be like, hey guys, here's some printable paper, you know, the like Santi paper, grab it on my website. Mm-hmm. You need to sign up to my email list and then you can get the paper and the templates. And every week, let's just do like a calligraphy thing together. I'll write a word. I'll write Happy Christmas. And I'll teach you all how to write it. And then here it is on my cards if you want to buy it, but you can also do it yourselves and have a go at home, because you and I both know that when you first start trying to do calligraphy at home, it's not like this. So they're still going to buy from you. Like, you're not going to be like training your customers to go to that.
That's so true.
And like, just show us the mess, show us the ink, show us the ones that go wrong, show us the books that you used, show us beautiful quotes, bang on, just telling the story. Like, it could even be like mostly typed and you just calligraph one word.
That's a great idea,
you know. And they could be free wallpapers that people screenshot and save and use on their phone, and they can be like just meaningful things that people send to their friends through Instagram. Like, there's so much you can do.
Mm-hmm.
It should never need to feel gross, because you're not trying to sell like laxatives here. This is not a hard sell. It's a beautiful thing that is all those things you said at the beginning. You want it to be joyful and fun and uplifting.
Perfect. Thank you. There's so many amazing ideas.
Yeah, you need to make sure you look at all of these things in the, and then get yourself onto something like Pinterest. Make yourself a shots to take board. You can make it private if that feels better.
Oh, yeah.
And recreate shots using your stuff, your product, your work.
Mm-hmm.
But that you love the pictures of, just swap in your stuff and recreate them.
Yeah, that sounds really good. That would be really fun doing a day of that. It would be great.
And then tell us so many ideas. Emily, best of luck.
Thank you so much.
Sorry, I just really talked at you then. I hope that was okay. I will make sure that we upload the comments along with the video for this one in the Facebook group for anyone who's listening after the fact or wants to grab any of the ideas. That is all I have for you today. So I will see you all in the Facebook group, and I will make sure I go in there and answer the remaining questions we didn't get to today. I hope you all have an awesome week. This has been so fun, and I know I'll see you all on one of these live calls very, very soon. Okay, stop share and see you soon.